The following program is an MLWRadio.com production.
Welcome to another episode of the Eastern Lariat Podcast, your show for news, notes, reviews, and opinions on the world of Japanese pro wrestling here on the MLW Radio Network. I'm your host, Strigger, and as always, I'm joined by my man Dylan Harris from Memphis, Tennessee. Dylan, how are things?
Things are going great right now, Strigger. The Grizzlies are in the playoffs, the Memphis basketball team. They just got a huge win. A huge upset win over the top-seeded San Antonio Spurs. So I was very happy about that. I'm in a very good mood today. It's a bright day. I think the only negative is once again, due to the timing of our recording and you being where you are, I'm missing my stories, my Young and the Restless, again today, Strigger. So I hope you're happy with that. I don't pass blame on you. I don't pass judgment on you. You know, maybe I'll have to watch some more European-based shows like that. I think I'm going to catch up on Hollyoaks now, thanks to the recording schedule of this show. So thank you for that.
Well, to be quite honest, I asked you when you wanted to do the recording, and you suggested this time in the morning, and you said it would be fine with you. So I can pass the blame back on you.
You can't trust anything this guy says.
I have proof.
Okay, yes, you're actually right on that. I did say that. So, but it's only because I'm so fired up about today's show.
Yeah.
We have a lot of great topics to go on. But these are always my favorite style of shows when we talk about undercover things. So I'm really excited for this.
Yeah, some undercover things and some things not New Japan. But basically, many other promotions that are running, that ran shows in the last couple of weeks and are running shows in the next couple of weeks. But first, going to New Japan Pro Wrestling, we obviously have to talk about Katsuyori Shibata again. Since, our last show, we did the show, I think, the Monday after Sakura Genesis. Is that?
Yes, right. I believe you're absolutely correct.
The Monday after Sakura Genesis, we did the show, I think. And at that point, we already knew that something wasn't all right with him.
Yeah.
But at that point, we didn't know the extent of it. And the story from there developed. And it developed in quite the astonishing direction since people started talking about it being a work. Because there was something that was brought up by Dave Meltzer, and I want to say here that I am not blaming him, because he of course had his sources too that told him so, and those, I don't know who those people were, but maybe they, I don't know, I don't want to get into speculations, but he had some sources that told him so, and so people started saying that it might be work, and started bringing up examples of worked injuries, and people were bringing up the Misawa Furnace story from the Champion Carnival 1994, when Giant Baba didn't want Misawa to win the tournament, but he also didn't want him to lose a match. And so they did a worked neck injury where Misawa allegedly got hurt after a Hurricane Rana. And at that point, only Misawa and Giant Baba were in on that, and not even Furnace was in to that work. And they later told him that he's all right, but the entire roster gave him heat for that. So the background of that, of course, was that Misawa shouldn't lose a match in the tournament. So So there was a payoff to that, but in the Shibata case, from day one, I didn't see any payoff from a work. So
let's cut our star off at his hottest point after his biggest match of his career.
Yes. We've been talking about that Shibata has suffered some incredible punishment over the last couple of years, and has basically killed himself for the NEVER Openweight Championship, and now he had some grueling matches too. When when the story came out that he had this lady friend, when the pictures were uploaded to Twitter, you could also see that he had some really heavy scars on his arm and on his entire body, and bruises on his body. And so then we had this headbutt in the match that of course created a incredible visual, and it's always a part of wrestling that as a fan and as a viewer of pro wrestling, you will always be a little bit hypocritical about what you watch, because you watch something that is grueling to the body of the people performing. But yeah, still, there is something to... There is a way to minimize those grueling parts of wrestling.
Yeah, you know, it's absolutely true. We talked about this last week, I believe, when...
Yeah.
We talked about this, you know, there's certain ways to work a headbutt that is less dangerous. It can still look as good, but I have a feeling this is what he wanted. Like, not, obviously not the injury, but he wanted it to be, he wanted it to be as real as possible. That's why he did it.
That's the other point. We can't tell grown men what to do with their bodies. And that's, I think we went over that last time too. Banning moves isn't the solution at all to that. And to the audience, for the audience side, not watching isn't a solution either, because if not watching was a solution, then pro wrestling Noah wouldn't go as hard as they were.
Come on,
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Boo.
Yeah, but what the days after the articles about the injury came out, they were really, really wasn't enjoying the discussions, because there was then this quote that I translated from the doctor, and it, what I have to clarify about that, and I already did that on Twitter, this doctor isn't the doctor that is attending Katsuyori Shibata, or that was attending Katsuyori Shibata, but he is part of the medical board, so to speak, of New Japan Pro Wrestling, Dr. Shunji Asamoto. And he basically said that Shibata can only resume his career with very strict examinations, and that he is not optimistic at all about that. And that's the update that Dave Meltzer gave as well a few days after that. And what worried me about this is that there were really people who just said that they don't believe it's real until Dave Meltzer says it's real. And again, I'm not blaming Dave Meltzer for that. I'm just saying that people should just take their own look at the evidence that's there. And from there, they can judge if the story is real or not. And if you're just relying on someone telling you that, that's bad.
Yeah, I mean, you know, nothing against Dave, but like a lot of his sources are secondary, you know, secondhand information. Like already, it's not like he's in the doctor's office with Shibata.
Right. Obviously, you know, he can't be, obviously.
No, that would be very, very dramatic of him. I'd applaud him for his dedication to take a flight all the way to Japan. To this. But, no, like, you know, a lot of these things are secondhand anyway. It's not like he's right in the thick of things. He gets his sources from the same stuff anybody could if they, you know, if they knew someone or translated them or anything like that. But, you know, that's just, that right there is just crazy. I didn't see anyone say that. I was, as usual, a little busy during the week doing crazy things.
Yeah, it isn't like that a lot of people said that, but there was just one in particular that struck me when I read it on Facebook.
Don't worry about that person.
So the thing is, after almost 2 weeks, we basically know nothing more, nothing new.
Yeah.
And it's just a waiting game, I guess, until we get an update on
Katsuyo Shibata. I just want to give the listeners an update that I received, not an update, but a bit of an explanation that I got from Twitter after the previous episode regarding subdurals, as I got message from user Richie_Sombrero
right,
on Twitter. He's very, very known in these. I looked up the tweets that he gave me, and I will repeat what he said to me regarding subdurals. They're usually caused by one acute event, probably the headbutt. While Shibata is bound to have had previous damage, this is an injury caused by one major blunt impact normally. This is from the textbooks. You can have chronic ones, but you're talking days to weeks, so it's easy to pinpoint as an acute event, as opposed to spinal stenosis, which is genuine chronic wear and tear. Normal causes are car accidents and alcoholics falling over blind drunk and smacking their head. Gives you a clue as to the impact this had. In this instance, I'd be particularly concerned about the occipital lobe and balance in eyesight, but neurosurgical intervention is phenomenal these days, so hopefully there won't be any long-term issues.
Yeah.
I think that's the, yeah.
The, to end this on a slightly bright note, we know that Katsuyori Shibata remembers the match. That's I guess the positive that we can point out on this story.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really happy to hear that. It's nothing, you know, whatever happens, you know, he's nothing. We didn't witness something tragic happen before our eyes, like, you know, Misawa.
Yeah,
This isn't bad, but like, you know, like it could have been something really devastating that we saw. You know, we'll see what happens in the future. We have no update, like we said. But I will repeat again, I feel like Shibata, the kind of performer he is, and the kind of what I know about Japan and Japanese pro wrestlers, I'm really afraid that even if the doctor were to heavily advise him not to come back, I feel like he would do everything in his power to return to the ring, even if it wasn't necessarily for his own benefit. I would keep an eye on that, and I really just hope for the best for Shibata, Honma. It's crazy how these big injuries happen, like, almost a month, exactly a month apart from each other, you know, so it's really sad to see. I really hate seeing that in wrestling, you know, you hate to see it, whatever you think of him, his wrestling, and he's very popular anyway, but even if you don't like him necessarily, like his wrestling or whatever, you never want to see something like this, and my heart goes out to him, and I really feel for both all these guys that are injured right now.
Yeah, but again, to bring in a little bright spot here.
Yeah,
we've talked about that last year when we talked about, I think back then it was Yuji Kobayashi, and right now it's 0-1 with Koei Sato, and especially right now Yusaku Obata. Mm-hmm. Yusaku Obata is scheduled to make his return on April 26th, so a few days after this show goes up. But they kept Yusaku Obata out of action for a couple of weeks due to a concussion. And
that is
something that wouldn't have happened in Japan a couple of years ago.
You're right.
And so there are certain developments that go into the right direction.
I'm very happy to hear that.
That translates to the entire Japanese scene or to pro wrestling in general, that remains to be seen. But to have slightly bad news, or really bad news, is that Akebono is in hospital again. Kurt talked about it on MLW Radio this week already, and there is also, the story is also very it's not really clear what is up with Akebono, because there was an update, again Dave Meltzer brought it up, that Akebono had been rushed to a hospital after a show in Fukuoka where he was placed in a medically induced coma, which then led to Akebono's promotion, I guess you can say, Royal Road, aka Odo, publishing the statement that there are many reports that are far away from the facts, is what they said. And the point they were making is that some reports were saying that Akebono is in a life-threatening status. And I think, it's just me assuming, that there were some parts just lost in translation back from English to Japanese.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And what they said, the update they gave, is that Akebono is currently under medical treatment in hospital due to a right leg cellulitis and an infection. As a result of discussions with the hospital side, they decided to cancel appearances of all events scheduled in the future. And then Tokyo Sports also had an update that the infection may be due to bacteria that entered the body from the wound Akebono has, because it's the same spot on the right leg where he already had cellulitis last year.
Yeah.
And yeah, so that's the update on Akebono. He was rushed to the hospital by Bomba Saito, the referee. And right now that's the update that I know of. I don't know if there is anything new. I'm just checking the Royal Road page, but there is nothing new. No. So
well,
yeah.
I just wanted to say that ring is such a really bad place when it comes to infections and things of that nature. You see guys contract ringworm and all sorts of stuff. Like, I can't imagine going, if you have a wound like that ring is always a risk to be in. It's just kind of gross, like, to be honest with you. So, but I feel for Akebono. You made a great point about things getting translated from English to Japanese and back. You know, if you tell someone who's bilingual in Japanese and English, you could say one thing in English and then get it translated to Japanese and have them write it down in English, and it would say something totally different than what you imagined. I mean, look at my own nickname, Sky Blue Hot Blooded Young Man. That makes no sense in English. That's a really dumb nickname. But in Japanese, it's Soryuro Niketsu Seinen, which is a lot better. So, like, that right there, you know, and I'm sure that is entirely possible. What you said is absolutely true. Things could have changed to something nobody even said originally, but it just passed through that way. So I really hope Akebono gets well. Man, I hate talking about this because we went through a period where we were talking about him almost every show about Akebono's health update, and we had a good little run there. He was starting to even look pretty good in the ring at some points, but I really hope he gets well soon.
Yeah. I don't know. I can't imagine that he has this restaurant. I was wondering if he was in because he needed the money, but apparently he is pretty well off. Mm-hmm. And I think he's 47 years old right now. Ah, man, this is the second time
he was a huge celebrity at his prime in Japan.
Yes, and he still helps companies mm-hmm. draw a good number for their crowds. But I don't know. I don't know if it would be better to just let it go, because the second time hospitalized within a year, and he had this this wound at the back of his head from the fight he had with Bob Sapp last year at Ryzen, and all these things that just not good for the body.
No, man, I really worry about him. Every time we talk about him, I'm always worried. But
yeah.
You know, he probably really loves it. You know, it's probably really fun to him. Really enduring, really gives him purpose.
I can totally see that, because he's as you said, huge celebrity. People love him, and yeah, it's good for him, I guess, to be in wrestling.
Yeah, I hope he's okay. Like I said, if I were you, of course, for health reasons, I would really rather it be that way. But you know, I kind of feel where he's coming from. I kind of understand it. You know. If that is the case.
Yeah, and another story, again, injury-related, was that last week, Okumura posted an update that he had to get neck surgery because examinations showed that he has a cervical dislocation fracture. That's, again, something lost in translation, I think, because I translated that from Japanese. But what they definitely did is they took two discs out of the cervical vertebrae and put in a plate instead. And that sounds really, really scary.
Yeah, CML actually posted an update 2 days ago. Surgery went well for Okamura. He's going to be starting rehab. He started yesterday, in fact. Surgery did go well, even though it does sound pretty painful. And he's on his way back to rehab. I think he should recover from the looks of it. But that's still a crazy. You know, that's not an injury you want to rush back from or play with. You know. But I really wish the best for him too. It's funny because I remember seeing him when he first started in All Japan before he went to Mexico a long time ago, just as a young, fresh-faced rookie. I never would have imagined someone would go from Japan to Mexico and stay there and last all these, you know, over a decade now, 13 years. You know, who could have seen that coming? You know, but he's pretty good. He's actually a pretty good little wrestler in Mexico. I wish him well.
Yeah, and now he's kind of the managing director or the tour guide for all the Mexicans coming over to Fantastica Mania. And when I searched for my tweet that I made about Okumura's injury, I also came by two tweets that I made in 2015 and 2016. One is, Okumura is like the old odd teacher that takes the same field trip every single year with a new group of kids. And then the year after, I tweeted that Okumura is the guy in the bar you go to once a year, and you can always be sure that you will be there sipping the same drink as always.
That sounds like a great. That sounds like you would be the teacher, and I would be the guy in the bar drinking the same drink over and over. So I think it's very, very relatable here.
I guess I can be both. I can be.
Yeah, you could be both. I'd only be drinking soda. Yeah. So,
yeah, okay. so from here, some very worrying topics with Shibata, with Akebono and Okumura. But let's go to some brighter topics, Dylan. Let's go to Yoshi Pro Wrestling, and let's first go to Stardom and their Cinderella tournament that they announced, as we are recording this on Friday the 21st. They announced the tournament on Thursday the 20th. Dylan, do we have the brackets right in front of you, or do I have to...
Yes, I do. Okay. I have the brackets right here. The first round, and we mentioned this a few weeks ago, people coming over for the tour.
Mm-hmm.
The first round, the first brackets are Tony Storm versus Rebel from TNA.
Yeah.
Impact Wrestling, no, excuse me.
Yeah.
Chris Wolf taking on the love of my life in Joshi, my girl, and I know you know who I'm talking about.
Yeah, I know.
Tessa Blanchard.
Oh!
Tessa Blanchard, but not who you're thinking. I know you were thinking someone else,
yeah,
but not her.
Okay.
It was Tessa Blanchard. Kairi Hojo taking on Hiromi Mamura, and Jogo Kiona taking on HZK, or Ryozuki.
Yeah.
Hetsa taking on Mayu Iwatani. Kagetsu versus Konami. Kagetsu taking a hiatus from wrestling soon.
Yes.
Not good. Not good there.
That was also pretty weird. She just gave basically kayfabe reasons for her time off, but nothing. I don't know.
Yeah, listen. If you are as good as her and you don't get title shots, it can wear on you. Mm-hmm. I feel like, but I don't want to speculate on that situation. From there, the last part of the bracket is La Rosa Negra taking on Jessica Havoc from America and the Puerto Rican wrestler, La Rosa Negra. And Io Shirai taking on Hana Kimura.
That's going to be a very
interesting match.
Yes, we're going to talk about Hana Kimura a lot on this show.
Yes, that's true. So some interesting things in this bracket here with a lot of people. You know, I was pretty critical of this group last time we talked about them, but I think the tournament, the Cinderella tournament, the way the rules work is every match, except for the finals, are a 10-minute time limit.
Mm-hmm.
And you could throw somebody over the rope, or you could have a time limit draw. If you have a time limit draw, both members are eliminated.
Yeah.
So I could see them doing something like that. You figure that would be some sort of draw or some weird finish like that.
Yeah, it's just a good way to go out of the way to have someone pinned and set up matches for shows in the future.
Yeah, I think most people expect that it will come down to Tony Storm versus Io Shirai, and Tony would win to set up a challenge for the title. But I almost think that's too obvious. I'm expecting a curveball in some way. You can see someone like Mayu winning for this. Mayu Iwatani has won two straight years of this
mm-hmm.
tournament.
Yep.
She wore that awesome sky blue dress two times. So I could see it being another thing. I think Jungle is very much in line. Jungle Kiona is very much in line for a big big push if they so want that.
She should be.
Yeah, she definitely should be. She's a very talented wrestler, very, very cool. Everything about her is awesome, to be honest with you. Her gimmick, too. I think my prediction is Konami is, I think she's going to beat Kagetsu, but I also think she could beat Mayu in the second round, because I think either Konami or Hana are in for a surprise win in this tournament. That's my early prediction.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not really brave enough to predict anyone, but I think one of those two are getting a big run in this tournament. But I just think Io's been booked too strong for this, and I think she's going to go far. But I could see Konami getting a big run here, or Jungle as well. Those are my two dark horses. Tony Storm is my favorite.
I can also see Hana Kimura maybe getting the upset over Io, maybe just throwing over the top rope, and then
that would be great.
Going far. To maybe set up a challenge for her later down the road, maybe?
Yeah, I had that same thought, but every time I think about it, I think of how strong Io has been in Stardom.
Yeah.
And I wonder if they would go there. But I'm totally with you. I think Hana has a lot of upside, a lot of potential for a lot of reasons. But I think, like I said, Io's been booked so strong, I could see that one going either way. But that's another dark horse pick right there from there. But we'll see. It should be a fun tournament overall. These are all one-night tournaments. Like I said, they're all under 10 minutes besides the final. So it should be a really easy show to watch if you got that if you got Stardom World. So I'd really recommend checking out. Really cool.
Yeah, right. As you said, that show will also be up on Stardom World. That's stardom-world.com. It's 750 yen a month, which is approximately, I think, $6.50, $7, something like that. The show is on April 30 in Kirken Hall, and those usually go up. They usually upload one match after another, but I don't know what they are going to be doing for that kind of tournament. But yeah, it's a great value if you are a wrestling fan, if you are especially a Yoshi wrestling fan.
One more thing before we move on, I have to request, because I don't know if we'll talk about Stardom again, but just in case it takes a little while, a month or so, I'd like to request the return of the Rock, Paper, Scissors tournament at Stardom World that we saw last year with Kari Hojo in a banana suit. So I hope that is coming. Please put that on Stardom World, friends from Stardom.
Rock, Paper, Scissors is very, very popular in Japanese wrestling. DDT does one every once in a while as well to set up a challenge for the Kyoto Open Weight title.
Yes, I love it. Shoot. I'm 90% sure, 99% sure this one last year was a shoot, in fact, because there was no prize on the line.
Listen,
other than the rock paper scissors championship.
Listen, it's much easier to work a rock paper scissors tournament than to work a actual wrestling tournament.
So sometimes you may be right on that. There's a lot of intricate planning that's not necessary in the rock paper scissors tournament.
Yeah, but no rock paper scissors, but real pro wrestling happened in the Kirken Hall on April 6th for Sendai Girls when they went to Tokyo and they drew 1,050 fans for their show headlined by Shihiro Hashimoto, challenging once again for the Sendai Girls World Championship. And we mentioned that on our last episode when we hadn't had the chance to watch the show yet, but it made air, and so we had the chance to watch Shihiro Hashimoto get the big victory over Aja Kong. And man, like we talked about that when we discussed DDT with Aja Kong taking bumps, and she bumped like crazy again for Hashimoto here.
Oh, I thought that was a great match. Very, very great main event here. You know, and what had happened was Kong originally beat Hashimoto for the title in January.
Yep.
And this was her first defense, a kind of rematch deal here. And I thought there was great storytelling in this match, really. You know, it's something that Joshi can be criticized for sometimes. And I believe we've talked about this before in some of these Io Shirai, Mayu Iwatani matches, that sometimes it's almost all action. But I thought these two really worked a great story with each other. And I thought Hashimoto is so impressive to me always, and she just impressed me in a different way here. And Kong, obviously, she's a legend. I think she was the perfect opponent for Hashimoto right near her. I think even with the loss, a lot of times you look at this kind of booking and you think, oh, the title's getting hot potatoed. But when you see this kind of match, I thought it did so much for Hashimoto here.
Yeah.
She looked great. I thought, and her style, it's such a great matchup. The amateur wrestler, the battle of skill versus power, you know, type of deal. And Hashimoto's got power too, but Kong's a whole other level, you know. And I just thought this was so many great matches, you know. And there was really smart legwork all around. Hashimoto just looked incredible here. I don't want to say a freak, but a freak in a good way. I loved it.
Yeah,
I thought this was a great match.
It was all about Hashimoto being able to beat the giant, to overcome the giant. And she tried to get her German suplex in multiple times in that match, and that was of course stopped by Aja Kong because she's so enormous. But in the end, Hashimoto got her German suplex through, and then after Kong kicked out one time, and Kong then, that was a great visual. She pointed at Shiro Hashimoto and said, "Come on, bring it," basically, wanted to strike with her back fist, and Hashimoto countered the back fist with a headbutt, and then won the match. So that was a great match.
And I loved how they each played to their strengths too, because Kong can't beat Hashimoto at, you know, her mat work and her technical wrestling. But outside the ring is kind of like where things get real, you know, where they're in more Aja's element. And I thought it was great. I thought they told a great story of Aja breaking down as well as the match went on. And it looked like her last gasp to try to pull this out was to go after the leg. And I thought it was tremendous selling all around, especially by Hashimoto. Hashimoto, to me, is a top-tier wrestler already. And I loved Kong in this match, too. Like I said, it was a perfect match. I really loved this a lot. I thought it was an amazing main event. I thought this whole show was great.
The entire show was great. I thought the main event was good. And as you said, they told a great story. But to me, the match of the show was Hiroyo Matsumoto defeating Meiko Satomura. Because those two, they were working such a great, great match. They clicked so well with each other. And in the end, Hiroyo Matsumoto just having this fire that really got me hyped for the finishing sequence that I watched it, I think three times. And really, really great 15-minute match, and you should really go out of your way to see that.
Oh, that too. That was a great match too. I just thought these two, they had a great pace to this match too. I thought it was more of a traditional Joshi style, in more of a way, but not in a bad way. It felt like a slugfest between two just awesome wrestlers, really. And I've spoken before about how Matsumoto, to me, is always underrated in the Joshi scene, kind of. And I think she went right with Meiko step for step here. I thought this was a really good match. You know, for a 15-minute match, they did a lot. But it also felt like they had more at the same time, almost. So I could see these two, if they want to revisit this match down the line, I could see it be just as great or even better. I really enjoyed that match, too.
Yeah, and Hiroyo, she's always a great asset for a company like Sender Girls. And we saw her coming out after Shiro Hashimoto defeated Aja Kong. So that was a way to build up Hiroyo Matsumoto as a challenger to Hashimoto. But also, another great match on this card, in my mind, was Hana Kimura defeating Mika Shirahime.
Yes, I totally agree.
And we got to see Hana Kimura and Mika Shirahime wrestle twice on this show. And I made this point on Twitter a couple of times: if you've never seen Hana Kimura wrestle, do it. She's not only great in the ring, but she also is so goddamn beautiful. it's just she brings the entire package to the game, I guess. You can say. And here with Shirahime, they had a great ground based match with some high spots in it. And in the end, Hana Kimura defeating Mika Shirahime, becoming the new tag team partner for Meiko Satomura's challenge for the Sendai Girls tag team title.
I watched this whole show and the tournament matches. I thought all four girls in the tournament looked pretty good, though Konami had a horrible Gato clutch set up in her original match.
Yeah. Mika.
that was not good. But Mika did win with the victory roll in that match. I actually thought Shirahime was the most impressive of the four throughout the tournament. I really enjoy her In terms of a pure in-ring worker, not commenting on Kimura's attire or beauty or anything like that, but I really think Mika has a lot of potential as a great worker in the future. And Kimura looked good too. These two are still very young, especially Kimura, still very much a rookie.
Kimura was born in 1997.
Yeah. Like I said, and these two, they're very young both in age and experience, especially Kimura, as I said. Shirahime, not very much older than her, still kind of a little more experience, probably about a year's worth more. But I really liked their match, like you said. Their match was another standout on a really cool show. I thought really the last few matches all delivered, and that is definitely a match worth checking out. Mika and Kimura really went at each other. I really liked it a lot. I felt like there was a lot of effort, and I was surprised. I was a little surprised Kimura got the win here. I think Mika is better fit as Satomura's partner, just for the Sendai girls connection, kind of. I think Mika definitely stands out as a Sendai kind of, she's on the roster pretty much.
Yeah,
unlike
but Hana is a fit since her mother and Miko Satomura had also had a story background with each other. So
yeah, good point.
could have gone either way. Either way would have been fine, but they chose Hana Kimura, and that led us to the tag team title match where champions Hikaru Shida and Shuri, they defended their championship. They make a great tag team. Outstanding tag team. They are similar in styles and they just complement each other so well. And they beat Cassandra Miyagi and Deshi Sako. Little odd team, I gotta say.
First of all, my favorite team of Shuri and Shida here. Miyagi's entrance is brilliant.
Yes! She's just, overall, she's just amazing.
I can best describe it as a drunk zombie that she has. Her outfit is like half and half with one pants leg and one missing stringy leg. All bright purple and black. Like you said, does not fit the look of Dash Chisako. But I did note early on there was a point where Dash hit a cross body to take out Shida and Shuri. Then they started headbanging together, and I was so behind this tag team at this point. I loved it.
Yeah, and what added another layer to this match was that Hana Kimura and Meiko Satomura were at ringside doing ringside work, and they sometimes cut to the outside to Meiko Satomura cheering for Miyagi and Shisako, and in the back you could see Hana Kimura with a stone face looking at what Shida and Shuri did to Shisako and Miyagi, and I thought that was just great and built up the upcoming tag team title match they are going to have so well.
Yeah, and also Shida and Shuri taunting Satomura. Satomura having a... I also want to mention that Shuri and Satomura had a really, really great match in March, a singles match with each other. I would highly recommend that.
Have to seek that out, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it happened in early March. Really great match. The crowd was really lively for the Sendai Girls team, but Shuri, she wrestles, the way she wrestles, not necessarily her moveset, but the way she moves around in the ring and the little things that she does in the ring, she wrestles in such a unique way, and I always appreciate that with her. She's actually one of my favorite Joshi wrestlers, along with Shida. Miyagi and Shida had an eye poke battle at one point instead of a chop battle, which I thought was very funny. But I do have to call out something, because there was a part in the match where Shida stopped Dash from a top rope move by throwing a kendo stick at her face, which looked great. But Dash responded by smashing her with a chair to the face, then to the gut, then the move I hate most in all of wrestling, where you place a chair on top of Shida, then do the frog splash.
Yeah.
That does more damage to yourself than your opponent. I also noted that Dash looked very awkward swinging this chair around. And I want to mention that I don't think people ever really respect how heavy these stupid chairs are. Because when I wrestled, I studied Eskrima briefly. And because I love martial arts, yes, but also I think it was great to bring in because I needed a weapon that I could actually use and not look stupid like with these heavy chairs that no one can lift if you're a normal person. I think people really underrate the heaviness of the chairs. But anyway, they still had some good stuff here. Shida actually superplexed Miyagi on the Dash at one point.
And that looked cool, yeah.
Yeah, that was a cool little setup. And it ended with Dash and Sheeta going back and forth on roll-up attempts all over the place, pretty much. But Shuri ended up running in, and they hit a double knee strike that Dash bridged out of, which I thought was a really cool moment, instead of a regular kick out. But then Sheeta hit her single knee, the Tamashi no 3 count, for the win. And it looked great.
Really called Tamashi no 3 count, right? I looked that up, and I just couldn't believe the translation was right. Yeah.
It is the name of the move, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen. But yeah, so that was great. Her knee looked really good too. Like you said, I love their tag team. I love that Sheeta and Shuri have the matching outfits and things of that nature. But yeah, I thought it was a really, really cool little match.
And also that Hikaru Shida wears the belt like she does.
Yeah, I don't understand why. I don't know why. She wears over her backside instead of her front. I don't know. But yeah, I like that too. I like that very much. So I'm glad you noted that.
Of course, the little details, as you pointed out, the little details.
Yeah. I'll be here talking about the wrestling, how they were the titles. Okay.
So well, it's a very good show. You gotta check that out. And Dylan, you wanted to talk about Ice Ribbon as well.
Yes, that's right. Because I did watch a show of theirs that aired from Corican Hall. It was the March 36th show. This day that does not exist.
Nope.
But I really want to put it over because everything on the card was enjoyable, and the last three matches were all kind of like 3.5-star to 4-star type level. I was really surprised to see Avid Rival fall because they're a really great tag team, and Tsukushi is kind of the star of her and Karumi's team, but I dug that match a lot, and with new champions being crowned, I thought that was really cool. And Arisa and Tsukasa Fujimoto was a really cool match.
I'm just looking at the card. That looks really good. I think I'm going to watch that show too.
Yeah. Check it out. Because I think ever since Nakajima went to Seed Ring, Nene training with her has made her a beast now, because she went so hard. You wouldn't believe that they were in a team called Best Friends. And I also want to point a match for you to look out for, Strigger, when you watch, because Arisa mocked Tsuka's Ocean Cyclone that she uses, and then just dumped her on her face.
Oh,
which was really, really good. It was really good. Cool match. Main was good, too. I think Risa Sarah's a really good champ to use here, and Yamashita is no slouch as well. Even the undercard stuff was pretty good, too. I really love seeing Bolshoi and Leon on the undercard, now that they're kind of on hiatus from the next JWP, whatever Bolshoi is cooking there.
Yeah, I don't know if we ever brought that up. But just go through the card, then we talk about that later.
JWP. So anyway, I thought they did great in their match. They wrestled. I hope they wrestle in Ice Ribbon more because they're a great tag team. And I'm normally not one to do this, unlike my co-host. But Maya Yuki and Takako Inoue might be my dream hottest team of all time, because Inoue in her prime was untouchable. And still now is brilliant. Yuki is my favorite, possibly of all the Joshi. So just, you know, yeah. But them plus Risa Sarah in a faction is what I hope to see eventually, is just all of the hearts, pretty much, for me, because that's awesome. But it was a really great show up and down. I really recommend checking it out. Lots of good storylines going on, good build-up to things going on in Ice Ribbon. And if I were to recommend it, I think it's important to mention that the Joshi scene in general is kind of rising up. I know we've talked about Stardom and their struggles a little bit, but there's a lot of quality around the whole scene right now. And even Stardom, like I said, the tournament is very interesting. So I think it's a great time if you haven't been into Joshi or haven't given it a chance. You should really check it out, especially if you tried it before and didn't like it. I'd really recommend watching some of Hashimoto's matches because she's a lot different than any Joshi wrestler. And Ice Ribbon has a great mix of... I don't want to say comedy, but it's like lightheartedness. There's also a match with Jun Kasai and Miyako Matsumoto, which is more along the lines of comedy. I cannot stand that tag team so much. How does Kasai team with Matsumoto so much? I don't understand. but it was a really fun show. I'd really recommend checking it out. I just wanted to give some credit there. Let's do.
Yes, as you just mentioned, the popularity of Joshi wrestling. There was a interview, or basically it was a text written by Hasuki herself on Tokyo Sports. The series is called Tokyo Sports Daughter's Sweet Talk. And Hasuki, in this...
another name where I just want to mention that Japanese translating to English again, that's another good example of it, in that name.
Yeah, but it actually says Sweet Talk. I translated that.
See, that's what I'm saying. It sounds better.
Yes, yes, it does. but Hasuki here said that she grew up watching WWE and wanted to be a WWE diva, which someone pointed out on Twitter is questionable. But if that's the only role models you have as a young girl and you only know WWE wrestling, that's, of course, what you want to be, if you want to be a wrestler. And then she said that she didn't know Yoshi Pro Wrestling at all, but the teacher in school asked her to find a group in Japan, and then she found Stardom. So that basically tells you how unpopular Yoshi Wrestling was and how they really hit rock bottom a couple of years ago with very, very few people even coming to their shows. And right now, we are talking of Yoshi companies outdrawing men's companies at points. And so, there is very good talent in Yoshi. People are going to the shows, and so it's slowly rebuilding.
You know, and there's like a whole lost era of Yoshi that you can't even find online anymore. A lot of the old JWP shows, like someone like Azuma Hayuga, is an incredible wrestler, like so good, probably like the last star. But when things went down, went really down, and nobody even knows any of her work because she was around in the mid 2000s when Yoshi was so dark, even online. So I heard some people. I told this to somebody. Somebody was saying something, saying Yoshi was at its lowest or some crap like that. But it's way better now than it was 10 years ago. So much better than it was.
And also, if a woman like Meiko Satomura would have been around in the glory days of All Japan Women's Wrestling, she would for sure be a case for the Wrestling Observer Hall of Fame.
Yeah, she really should be. She's such a great worker, so influential, because she's kind of like the last... She started right around the tail end of Joshi's big popularity. Yeah. I think she started in 95, 95.
I think she even was in WCW sometimes.
She was in WCW. Yeah. She had a couple of matches in WCW, along with Nagayo, who wrestled as Lady Zero. You know... And like you said, she's such a great candidate already, and especially if she had that bump where Dave was more, she was around when Dave was more than Joshi, she would have all of that, like all the same accolades as, you know, Toyota and Kong and all these people. So she's just an amazing wrestler. Even someone like Hayuga is an amazing wrestler that nobody knows. So I just want to shout out Hayuga. Please look her up if you can, because there are some matches of hers online. Some really great ones in 2002 as well.
Yeah.
So please check that out. And like I said, Ice Ribbon there did over 1,000 fans, which is good for them. I think you said Sendai did over 1,000 as well at Cork and Hall. So
yep. They're... Let me quickly look that up, what they did. 1,050, yeah, as I said.
Yeah, see, so that's what I wanted to ice
ribbon. Slightly more than ice ribbon.
Yeah, exactly. See, so that's great that they're both doing, those kind of numbers. And for them, that's good. Hopefully they can get on the rise even more going forward in the future. And just in terms of in-ring quality, I think it's in a really good place right now, all around as well. So please check that out between those companies as well as Seed Ring. It's really easy to find some good Yoshi if you want to watch it, you know. So really give that a shot if you haven't.
Just go to Google. Go to Google. Just type in Real Hero Network, and you will find everything you need to find.
It's all there, people. It's all there. Right there.
Or stardom-world.com, as I said. Yeah, let's switch gears from here, Dylan. I would suggest going from the women to the men's side of Japanese pro wrestling, and there is in particular one match we wanted to go over since you didn't see it at the point we were doing our last show 2 weeks ago. You did watch Daisuke Sekimoto versus Hideki Suzuki number 2.
Yes, I did. I don't know if this is a surprise to you or a surprise to me, but this was very high on my radar of matches to watch. And... What did you think of this match, Trigger?
Thought it was a good match, but to be quite honest, it didn't really live up to my expectations, because I thought they planted some seeds in the first match that they didn't really pick up. It was still a very good match. They did a lot of stuff in here. They didn't do too much, but I think in the end, it was just a good match and nothing else.
I think it was great in its own way because Suzuki ended up winning the title here.
Yeah.
Which automatically gave it a boost for me. But in terms of the match, I think the first one was better.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, I kind of agree with you on that one. But I liked how it felt like a struggle more than anything, you know. I thought Hideki does a great job of how he kind of, the way he wrestles is that he's really all over Sekimoto in this match. He doesn't really give him room to breathe or, you know, very, very little. And I thought it built well. I thought it built very logically, but not as good as well as that Hashimoto and Kong match, but I thought it built very logically to when they started to do big stuff. Sekimoto dumped him to the outside, which was kind of cool because Hideki dumped Sekimoto to the outside in the first match. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was kind of cool. And, you know, I really like both of these guys as wrestlers. I think they had a great thing here. Sekimoto, I thought, was really strong, too, selling for Suzuki, making him look good. There's a part where he hit his dragon suplex into his elbow, which I thought was really great, really, really well timed. And I just thought the whole match was very well done, but it lacked something that the first match had, mm-hmm. I think. I really liked it, though. I don't want to sound like I'm talking negative on it, because I really liked it
a
lot.
No, if you just look at isolated from everything else, it's a very good match. But if you've seen the first one, you will just expect them to go a little bit further than they did in the first match, and they just didn't.
Yeah, it just felt like more of a condensed version of their first match, kind of.
Yeah, but in the end, I think doing that twice was also a way to get to Endless Survivor without burning another challenger.
I thought it was great booking. I have no problems at all with the way they went about this.
And what they did one day after Masaya Takahashi won the Ikitosen Deathmatch Survivor Tournament, they did a number one contenders match between Yuji Okabayashi and Daichi Hashimoto. Don't know if you saw that match.
I did.
You did? I loved it.
Yes.
I loved it. Man.
I thought this was amazing. I thought this was the best match of Daichi's career. That's how much I liked it.
Yeah, if you say it that way, I can see that because he was really on fire. At one point in the match, he did this almost Pride-esque soccer kick / face kick series in the corner to Okabayashi, which Mac Takeda, the referee, had to break up because Hashimoto was so on fire. And they just threw bombs at each other. Hashimoto with his kicks, Yuji Okabayashi with his lethal chops. At one point, I had to go back because I thought that Okabayashi chopped Hashimoto's face, but he just chopped his chest so hard that Hashimoto went down. And then there was this incredible high angle superplex that Hashimoto took.
I love that.
That hang time.
Yes, that was amazing. The front and back shining wizard when Hashimoto got fired up.
And Okabayashi tried to finish him with everything but the kitchen sink. He gave him lariats. And in the end, the powerbomb did the job. But man, that was a great, great example of what strong BJ is all about.
Yeah. A sickening powerbomb that he did there with the lariat as well. He just splatted Daishi here. Like you said, I think Hideki is great as kind of the centerpiece of this division because he's kind of an X factor. He brings something different to the table. But when you see a match like this, this is what built the house pretty much for Big Japan. I love this match. Like I said, I loved Daishi brought it all, you know, into this match. Like I said, he didn't care about the referee. He just blasted Yuji. He just wanted to fight his way. He knew he was facing this monster that he knew that he was going to have to go with here. And it was just great. I thought Daishi was incredible in this match. And Okabayashi, excellent as well. I cannot wait for that match. Okabayashi versus Hideki.
Yeah. But before we go to the end of Survivor Card, I want to mention that you brought up the Big Japan, the Strong Division. They are right now in kind of a transition period where, of course, Daisuke Sakimoto and Yuji Kobayashi are still the outstanding players of that division, but they are also developing talent like Daichi Hashimoto or even Ryuichi Kawakami. And we talked about that when we talked about him in Basara. It's really funny that he had to go Basara to really find his groove again. And now he's really back to what I initially saw in him when he first made an impact in Big Japan. He is now back with Manabu Soya as the tag team of the Wild Network. At this show, they faced Daisuke Sakimoto and Hideyoshi Kamitani. And Kamitani, too, I think at this point he overcame that he had this lackluster run as the Big Japan Strong World Heavyweight Champion, and he is now also back in finding his groove again, and he really was good in this match as well. So they have a lot of talent here with Yoshihisa Uto.
I'm so happy to hear that.
And two with Yoshihisa Uto as well, and so Big Japan drawing strong numbers as of late, and also developing new talent after new talent, and. This is a company you really should look out for if you haven't checked it out. Endless Survivor on May 5 will be your opportunity to check out Big Japan Pro Wrestling, as they are always running Endless Survivor on May 5, as it is the centerpiece of Golden Week. Golden Week in Japan is a series of holidays in Japan. Starts, I think, on April 29. It's April 29 is the Showa Day, and then they go on to have the Constitution Memorial Day on May 3. That's when New Japan always runs Wrestling Dontaku. May 4, they have the Greenery Day, and on May 5, that's Children's Day. Or in Japanese, Kodomo no Hi. That's also part of the Golden Week, and there are many promotions that use this time of the year to run their shows. There is a Guts World show on the same day as Endless Survivor. Noah runs two Kurikan Hall shows this week to finish their Global Tag League. Michinoku Pro always runs their Golden Week tour, this year highlighted by the Tohoku Junior Heavyweight title match. Manjimaro defending against Takeshi Mina... against Rui Hiyogaji. I'm sorry, not Minamino. Dragon Gate runs Dead or Alive on May 5 as well. So there is a lot of wrestling in Golden Week. It's the busiest week of the year for wrestling outside of New Japan Pro Wrestling. And even New Japan runs there. And so, Golden Week brings us to Yokohama, the Yokohama Bunka Gymnasium. Few days before that, on April 28, Big Japan runs Kurikan Hall with some matches to set up. Endless Survivor.
Hey, Striga, before we get there, I wanted to say something, too, because there's someone you didn't mention in that Big Japan division before we get on to these Golden Week shows. And that was a match that happened on the 10th.
Oh, right. I wanted to check that, but I didn't have the time to. Yeah, I'm going to do that.
Highly recommended, is all I have to say. I love that match so much. Hideki Suzuki versus Takuya Nomura.
Yeah.
If you're a fan of mat work and, again, things being like a struggle in a match, I really highly recommend checking that out. I really check that out, Strick.
You know, last July, I remember I was sitting at the airport. I was watching some Big Japan. At that point, Takuya Nomura was fairly new to wrestling. And he
didn't seem like it, though.
He faced Hideki Suzuki in an opening match, in Kurikan Hall. And at that point, that was the best rookie match I had ever seen.
I think I remember this match, and this one was even better. Yeah. I loved Nomura so much. I think he's just amazing. I love him.
Yes. Takuya Nomura, he's special. He's definitely special. He even, I think today, as I said, we are recording this on the 21st. I think he had a match with Daisuke Sakimoto.
I can't wait to see that too.
Yeah.
I hope it airs.
I hope too. But yeah, so End of Survivor, we have a full card for that show, starting with a six-man tag team match. Tatsuki Yoshino, Katsuki Hashimoto, and Takuya Nomura, there he is again, facing Shinobu, Katsumi Kikuta and Yuya Aoki, the newest rookie in Big Japan. Then we have
Be a great match.
Yeah, it's going to be a great, fun opening match for Yokohama. We have then a series of three death matches. No stipulations announced yet. First of which is Great Kojika and Minoru Fujita facing Kankuro Shino and Takayuki Ueki.
Okay, that does not sound like a great match.
but, wait for it. Second death match, Yekinicho Kenju, Yukumi Miyamoto and Isami Kodaka facing Masashi Takeda and Takumi Tsukamoto. And Ruji Ito and Yakino Masawa against Kenji Fukimoto and Toshiyuki Sakuda. That also sounds very good. But now we are getting to the top of the card and we are getting to the strong matches. Ryota Hama, Ryochi Kawakami and Yasufumi Nakanoe against Kohei Sato, Shuji Ishikawa and Yoshihisa Uto. Triple towers right here.
Awesome.
Daisuke Sekimoto and Masato Tanaka facing Daichi Hashimoto and Hideyoshi Kamitani.
I hope Daichi can keep up his what we saw in that match with Okabayashi here, because if he does, he can deliver big here. So I'm really looking forward to that match.
For the Strong World Heavyweight Championship in the semi-main of this show, Hideki Suzuki defending against Yuji Okabayashi. You mentioned it already. Really looking forward to that match.
Can't wait.
Yeah. And also Abdullah Kobayashi defending the Big Japan Deathmatch Heavyweight title against Masaya Takahashi in the main event. That's going to be crazy.
Yeah, that more violence will be happening on this card. I think the last two matches will be violent in different ways. So it's double the fun in Big Japan.
Yeah, definitely.
Those death matches are another great example, if you look at them, of things that sound better in Japanese than when you translate them to English, because they always have crazy names for their death matches. Yeah. So I can't wait to see that. Some of the death matches for the tournament were really good too.
Sometimes I just take the Japanese names and then I put a little asterisk on there and try a English translation, because it just doesn't always translate that well.
Yeah, exactly.
Another show in a Golden Week. I'm just looking at my notes here. Yeah, another show in Golden Week is Wrestle 1 running Curriken Hall on May 4, which is going to be the return of Jiro Ikemen Kuroshio.
And it's what the world needed.
Yes, and they announced some matches for that show. For the Wrestle 1 Cruiserweight title, Andy Wu is defending against former champion Masada. Wrestle 1 Tag Team title, the tag team of Koji Doi and Komogoro, defending against Masayuki Kono and Takanori Ito. Very interesting rookie. And in the main event, Shotaro Ashino defends the Wrestle 1 title against Manabu Soya. And Dylan, it's the first time in months that we actually talk about Wrestle 1. I recently had two weeks vacation, and I wanted to just catch up on some wrestling. I'm not caught up on Wrestle 1, and I'm also caught up on K-Dojo. K-Dojo had some great matches recently as well. I recommend you watching Taishi Takisawa versus Kengo Mashimo from 226, and also Takamichinoko versus Ayato Yoshida from March 18, I believe it was. But yeah, Wrestle 1. I started going back to watch Wrestle 1 for their December Curriken Hall show. The December Curriken Hall show had three great matches, with Masada winning the Wrestle 1 Cruiserweight title, and I really have no idea how they came to the conclusion that after all these years of being a tag team wrestler and being used in multi-man tag team matches, that Masada all of a sudden has a singles run in him. But I guess they have so many belts right now, and that's another issue. They have so many belts,
have a lot of belts.
That they need to have programs for those belts. And it turns
out someone's got to be this champion.
Yes. and it turned out that Masada, I never knew that he was such great of a worker, because he's also one of those wrestlers that takes great pride in little details in wrestling. When he faced Yusuke Kodama, he worked his neck by frequently having nerve holes onto the neck, which which sounds a little bit boring, but it really played well into the story of the match, and he then finished him with a drop onto his neck. And Masada had a great run as the Wrestle 1 Cruiserweight Champion, and he's here back again challenging Andy Wu. And I was really surprised at how great the singles matches were that Masada had.
Yeah, was it Andy Wu or was it Yoshioka?
Yoshioka at the March show.
Yeah, that because that's the match I saw. I actually recently watched just today actually, but before we started recording the podcast, I watched the 3/20, the March 20th show. I watched all the title matches on the show. I very much remember the last time we planned to talk about Wrestle 1 was when Inaba won the world title from Kai in August of last year.
Yeah,
but I wanted to talk about it. But we still never talked about it.
Never happened, though. No.
for one reason or another. But that's a whole other issue, Inaba here. But I'm very happy to hear that. I really liked Masada's match against Yoshioka on the March 20th show.
Yeah, and also a match that you also saw, but you saw the rematch. In December, they had Kazayashi and Kotaro Suzuki back in the day being the Wrestle 1 Tag Team Champions. They faced Koji Doi and Kuma Goro in a match that I really like because they just went all out from start to finish, much like they did in the match in March. And Koji Doi and Kuma Goro, they are a great, great tag team. Koji Doi, Wrestle 1 recently had a show on April 19, and he came to the ring with his three belts. He's the UWA Trios champion. He is the Wrestle 1 Result champion, which is the dumbest name I've ever heard for a championship.
a horrible name. I thought, when I first saw this, I thought, like, they were having, like, a result. You know, somehow a title had gotten held up or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, usually they call it that, yeah. Like, with that. So, and then I saw this was an actual title, and I was
it's
what?
It's an actual title belt, yes. And he's also the Wrestle 1 Tag Team Champion with his partner Kuma Goro. Koji Doi is great, and Kuma Goro is a real throwback. He uses the airplane spin.
Yes.
Only few wrestlers use in these days. Those two really make great tag team. And also on that show that I saw, Masayuki Kono defending against Jiro Kuroshio, Kuroshio's last big matches before he got injured by Ashino, actually. I always thought that Masayuki Kono is boring, but here with Kuroshio, he had a great match and played a big part in this match being so exciting. And so Kono won me a little bit over here, but Dylan, to be honest, I didn't really like Kono versus Ashino.
You know, I was going to say the same thing. I thought, and if you watch the show, first of all, I wanted to mention I took some notes on the 3/20 show. The opening video to the show had big words that said, "Welcome, wonderful, wonder world wrestling, we enjoy." Which may be another example of bad translations, yet again. But the video packs before the main event of that show with Ashino and Kono, I thought it was a really, really well-done video package. Much like their match graphics, whoever's in charge of that in Wrestle 1 is doing a really great job.
Yeah, listen, and listen, besides WWE and DDT, they do the best work with video shots and hype videos. They are really great at that.
Yeah, their interviews were very passionate, very intriguing. It told the story of these two teammates from Trigger colliding.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I just, you know, Ashino, I like him and all. First of all, I hate that his theme music that he has, he comes with the Fuel by Metallica. I thought basically things didn't really get cooking. You know, Kono took a lot of the early match and all. But things didn't really get cooking till the very end, where Kono went for the knee drop, and Ashino caught him in the ankle lock, and they had like a really amazing struggle.
Yep.
That they really made this look good in contrast, and that's a hard thing to do because a lot of ankle lock spots look really contrived today. But they did great. They had so much struggle until Ashino grapevined and Kono had to tap. But like you said, that was the best part of the whole match. Really, was like that last.
It was a great finish to a decent match. Yeah. I'd say.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm with you on Kono. I've never been a huge fan of his. He's never stuck to me. I thought he was like the definition of an average kind of pure worker. Mm-hmm. When I look But, you know, we'll see where it goes. Hopefully they do a better job with Ashino than they did with Inaba and Kai.
Yes, and that is one point I wanted to get to. But before that, you mentioned Trigger. Trigger was the stable of Masayuki Kono, Shuji Kondo. Ashino was in, and there was a fourth guy.
Brother Yashi.
Yeah, but he was a replacement, I think. Or was he...
Oh. Or was I think you're right.
Beginning? Let me quickly look that up. It was originally... I think Hiroki Murase was in originally, but then they brought in Yashi. Right. Yeah.
They should never have done that.
Those stables in Restore. Ashino defeated the leader of Trigger here, and then the other Trigger member, Shuji Kondo, challenged, and then on a show that we didn't get to see, the April 19 show, we didn't get to see that yet, Ashino also beat Kondo, and then basically said, now that I've beaten you two, Trigger is over, and I'm looking for new things. And I translated the interviews after the match, and Shuji Kondo's only comment was, maybe I created a monster.
I that's too bad. I really like that name for a faction in Japanese. I think Trigger is a really cool name for a faction.
It actually is. But yeah, Shotaro Ashino now being on top. And we haven't talked about Wrestle 1 in months, and there is so much to say about them.
So much to say.
It's basically right now what Wrestle 1 does. It's all about developing new guys. If you just look at the cards, if you look at the card we had on March 30, just take the third match, the UWA World Trios title match with Daiki, Inaba, Koei Fujimura, and Yusuke Kodama. Kodama is 29, Inaba is 29 as well. But on the opposite side, you had Ganseki Tanaka, Jun Toncho, and Seigo Tachibana. Two of those three don't even have a cage match profile yet. And there is And there is another one, Shoshindo. They are all from this Wrestle One training academy they have, and they are pumping out guys left and right. Right now they also have this group, their development brand called Pro Wrestling Ace, where they have even more young guys like Takeshiba Watanabe, Tsugutaka Sato, they have Andromeda Ken, and they also have a guy by the name of Takanori Ito. I don't know if you have seen him wrestle yet. The best way I can describe him is Takanori Ito is a Japanese version of Kevin Steen. And he's very good at it.
Oh, okay. That sounds really cool.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see that. I haven't watched the Ace show yet. I was planning on getting to that. It is up. And I think, I enjoyed the show overall from the March 20th show. It's under 2 hours if you want to check it out on the Real Hero Deal. Looking pretty good with this gold mine of young talent Wrestle 1 has.
Yeah. And if you look at the crowds, at first, if you look at that, they drew 813 fans for the last Kurikan Hall show. At first, it doesn't look very good. And I'm not here to make excuses for Wrestle 1, but to explain. If you look at that, if you look at what they have right now, they have a crop of young talent, very good young talent in, for example, Ashino, Inaba. By the way, if you haven't seen it, Shinjiro Otani versus Daiki Inaba from January 25, great match too. They have a crop of young talent that is getting better by the day, basically, and they have a small fan basis, but they have a fan basis of loyal fans that come to their shows. And if you compare Wrestle 1, they have young guys, and they mostly have experienced guys, but that has never been main event talent, like the guys like, for example, Manabu Soya, Masayuki Kono, Shuji Kondo, Kasayashi, Kotaro Suzuki. All good to great wrestlers, but they have nothing. They have never been more than mid or upper mid carders. They've never been draws. And then if you look at other promotions like Pro Wrestling Noah, or even a couple of months ago All Japan Pro Wrestling, they had name value, or they have name value on their cards, and they don't or didn't do much better than Wrestle One is doing right now. And so, this company has young talent, and it seems like they are all in for developing this young talent, as Kasayashi has now been appointed to basically be the I think vice president of Wrestle One, and he's right in the mix of experienced wrestlers, of veteran wrestlers, trying to get those guys like Kumagoro or Koji Doi over with the crowd, and he's doing a phenomenal job, I think, with that. So if you choose to watch Wrestle One, you really have to keep in mind that what they are right now. And Dylan, we talked about the belts they have. They have had a crazy story going back with all those belts. For most parts, we haven't talked about Wrestle One because of the Kai deal, right?
Not really. Like, I mean, I would have talked about him. I thought we just didn't have time with all the other wrestling. But I hated that. Don't get me wrong. I was terrible in so many ways. He even lost on this March 20th show too. His team lost. Even when he's not even here, even when he shows up freelance, they still have him lose. So that's awesome. I hope he loses every single match in Wrestle One. Like, I hope he's a contender in All Japan. But whenever he goes to Wrestle One, like, his team loses somehow when he goes there. That's what I want to see.
Yeah. So Wrestle One
there. They're, to me, like, Wrestle One, when I look at them, and I'm going to make a baseball reference here, Stringer, so bear with me for a second. They are like the Atlanta Braves of ProRes. They built from within with just enough veterans that are good, like, locker room guys, kind of, to have around. Not you mentioned not necessarily big stars, but guys who are all around solid. And I want to mention that match I heard, with the tag match on the 320 show, because I took some notes for Hayashi and Suzuki versus Doi Kumagoro.
Yep.
Because I think, and I mentioned this with Shuri earlier, but Suzuki, to me, worked so smoothly in that match. I loved him early on with Kumagoro. The way he moved, the way he countered things. We saw really unique sequences with him, the way he rolled around and countered things. He has just such a unique style that nobody really replicates, not in his moveset necessarily, but how he wrestles. And I think that's really important. And Doi, to me, looked incredible here. Kumagoro, he looked like a big Maximo Sexy fan, I thought, with his attire here. But he wasn't positioned to stand out until the end of that match, because when he caught Hayashi's handspring elbow into a torture rack, and this set him hitting a King Kong Buster on Kotaro. Then it had a sequence where he had Doi in an electric chair while Doi had Hayashi on his shoulders for a Samoan drop. And it was a really unique take on the Tower of Doom spot, so to speak. And then Kumagoro just suddenly hit a plancha, and Doi decided to be awesome again. I'm a huge fan of Doi. I watched these guys when they were very young, along with Inaba. I've always been a huge fan of Inaba since his original match with Otani 2 years ago, which was an incredible match. But he just, Doi here, he just destroyed Hayashi a bunch. And there were great near falls, too, because there were a couple of legit times I thought the match was over. He hit a half Nelson suplex, a huge lariat, then a great straight right hand that looked devastating. But the Brainbuster finally did it.
Yeah.
Doi looked really great, and I really liked that tag team match. My only complaint is Doi's mustache that he has here, because it just looks so greasy. It looks so greasy when they had here. And they also had the six-man titles you mentioned with Inaba, Fujimura, and Kodama, with Tanaka, Tuncho, and Tachibana. That was a good high-energy match.
Yeah.
The crowd was into it, too, for those young guys. You know, these rookies that they have, the crowd, you know, they responded to them. These guys weren't all the most crisp. I mean, these guys are still really new. But the effort really shined through, I thought. I loved Inaba. I've always been a huge fan of Inaba. I think his title run is just as big a travesty as Kai's.
Yeah.
But Fujimura is a really strong upside potential, and I think Tachibana, too, has really good upside. But I think all of them do, but I like those three in particular, and I think they have a lot of great upside. And like I said, they have so many great young talent. Eventually, that's going to blossom, you know, into something really special. And there's something really special. I think this company, some people have said they're going out of business, Stringer. I don't know if you've heard these rumors.
Yeah,
we know better, hopefully. like than that.
First of all, listen,
new president.
You can say whatever you want about those trios titles and even in New Japan, but right now,
I like the trios.
Wrestle One using that to perfection with those young guys here.
Yeah, this is exactly how they should be used.
Yeah, with the, them being in jeopardy all the time, and I think right now the champions, since we saw that Andy Wu, Koji Doyo, and Kumagora are the champions right now, right? So, but yeah, they are using those belts very well. Wrestle One, you mentioned that there were rumors of them going out of business. They had to cut ties with a lot of their original roster. Masakatsu Funaki, for example. Yasufumi Nakanoe, Kai, Ryota Hama left. Ryan Fujiwara, for example, left too. And it's you know, not all of those people left in good terms, the promotion. Yeah. But there are so many struggles within Wrestle One. You can see that if you only look at the title belts they have. Because Wrestle One, the idea of Wrestle One originally was that it was going to be an open weight promotion.
Yeah, I remember that. They were going to mix Joshi and men's wrestling too. That was an idea. They still kind of did that on Ace. They had a Joshi match too.
Yeah, they actually have Hana Kimura signed to Pro Wrestling Ace.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then they switched booking teams and Tajiri took over, and his idea was to bring in a cruiserweight title. A cruiserweight title to a promotion that is built around mainly junior heavyweights like Kasayashi, Shuji Kondo, and so on. This cruiserweight title, it's completely ridiculous. If you have an openweight title, why do you have a cruiserweight title?
And
they were in the position. Tajiri, I think, was removed again, and they had this belt. And they have to do something with the belt without abolishing it. And so now, all these switch arounds of booking philosophies and booking teams and money issues hasn't gone too well for them and their fan base. Well, a lot of guys that left Wrestle One, and basically now they had to concentrate on the young talent they have because they just couldn't afford more experienced talent that are stars as well.
Again, much like the Braves at baseball, Striga, because that's how they did it. They let go of all their star players, put in a lot of these young guys that weren't really ready. They were terrible for years. They've been like the worst team in baseball forever. But now, and this year, in fact, we're starting to see those guys. They brought in some, you know, reliable veterans, not necessarily big name star players, but to help along and, you know, kind of be the missing link in their chain to help them get to where they need to go. And I think that's what Wrestle One's doing right now, you know, because they'd already kind of, like I said, someone like Kai, they already damaged him so much that it doesn't really matter. He's still around anyway. I hope that he left on terrible terms, but just comes back. Just to come back and lose.
Just to show what a great star he's gotten. Yes. To be in All Japan again.
Yeah, it's true. He's actually really good at All Japan and Wrestle One. Who knows? But some of those guys, like you said, like Funaki and all that, it wasn't necessarily the talent. It was more, like you said, the booking and crazy decisions made in a lot of different ways. That would be like a 2-hour podcast if you went through all of them.
And keep in mind, besides all the people I just mentioned, there is also Keiji Muto involved.
Yeah, he's there.
Yeah.
How's Pro Wrestling Masters going, Striga?
Yeah, they had this one show, and I don't know. They are doing another one. I think it's
to be announced.
I think it's going pretty well.
Okay, cool. Didn't he just get announced like as a president of their board or whatever? He was like the new president?
Yeah, there was a new structure in... I don't have it in front of me right now. As I mentioned, Kasayashi was promoted to be in a office role right now.
Yeah, exactly. Essentially, they just promoted some guys and he was like the head one. Muto was the head guy.
People figured that he would be out of Wrestle One, but he was just positioned in another role, I think in an advisor role or something like that.
Yeah, he was on the show on March 20th in a 5-minute match.
Yeah.
Yeah, Legends match. But no, he was also all over the video package as well, the opening video
of
deal.
Of course, of course.
But he is
still... listen, it's still his promotion, and he still has the money backers behind him.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Like you said, with these guys, I hope to see a lot more from WrestleMania, because I was entertained by the show, the 3:40 show. Mm-hmm. I thought it was a no-frills kind of deal, outside of that kind of Legends match deal. But... you know, I really like seeing these rookie guys grow and show what they have, you know, because it sets Wrestle 1 apart from being just another version of Noah and All Japan,
which is
what it kind of was for a long time. Like, it had no identity, I think, was a big problem. Like you said, when they had the open weight deal, when they first started with all the mystery men, they had like a really cool vibe going, and then they kind of went astray, and they just kind of became a generic Puro company that was not needed, quite frankly.
No.
But now they have an identity with these young guys. And as I mentioned, I really think Kotaro is a very highly underrated worker. Hayashi, always solid. Kondo, good. He fills his role well as well. So they've got good veterans, and I really think that this gives them an identity to build around these young guys. I would push them all, which is hopefully what they have in mind. And they don't repeat the mistakes of the past with Kai and Nava as champion.
No, there was a small part of me that thought they would switch belts again with Shotaro Oshino losing the belt, because that would have been the most Wrestle 1 thing to do.
That would have been horrible.
Yeah.
No offense to Kondo, because I've always liked him, but that is not the right time for something like that.
No. You just brought up Pro Wrestling Noah. That's actually a great tie-in, because none other than Masayuki Ushida was at the Wrestle 1 show yesterday. There was a picture on Instagram with Kasayashi. And as you can you remember, I just said that Kasayashi is now in an office position with Wrestle 1.
Well, look, when you had Muto there,
Noah,
you don't have to be a genius to know something is up, you know? So something is at least being talked about.
Let's just say it would be to the benefit of both companies.
Yes, absolutely. Especially Noah, because they need young guys.
Right.
That's their problem. Because they're, you know, I know you kind of railed on them earlier for having no fans, but the groups, the much like Wrestle 1, even more so, really, the guys that they do, the fans that they do have there, are passionate when they come there, which is what I care about more than anything, much like this Wrestle 1 show. So I think if they could work something out, I think it would be very beneficial. And Wrestle 1 could get some more star power, bring in someone like Mar Fuji, or, you know, some of these TNA guys, maybe, and bring them back in. But I would love to see something more direct. Noah also working, bringing in Nomura from Big Japan, the true hero of wrestling right now, in my opinion. Not the real hero, but the true hero.
Yeah.
I've always said that people were too negative on Noah. They need to give this time to play out, because he's doing what he can, like Uchida is. And I think this would be another excellent move if they could work with WrestleMania, because it would be like the perfect kind of match together. They go together like peanut butter and jelly, you know? Yes. I feel like chicken tenders and macaroni and cheese.
Oh, boy.
Like, I love it. I love it, you know? So I that's what I want to see.
Yeah, so that could work out very well for both companies. And...
oh, wait, one more thing about Wrestle 1. I have to throw this out to the listeners. This is very important.
Okay.
If anyone knows that where you can find the version of Hayashi's theme music, the lyrical version that he has of Tongue, please let me know on Twitter, because I need to know, because I love that song. That's an amazing theme song. I just want to point that out.
Okay.
Before we move on from...
yeah, no, it's... I think we are through with the topics we wanted to talk about today. When we come back 2 weeks time, Dylan, it's going to be time to talk about the Champion Carnival, because the Champion Carnival has started. We have, I think, 4 shows in the books right now. And who is on top of Block A? None other but Kai.
Yes. As I successfully predicted that he was a dark horse.
Yeah.
He had this tournament locked up. It's true. We know it all. Has he clinched yet? I don't think he has, but he's very close.
I don't know.
Actually, I don't think he's clinched.
No. But yeah, so the tournament is looking very good right now. It's the shows started to air this week, again with a crazy schedule. With the
what are you doing?
with one show airing, I think day 8 airing after the finals. And
I can't wait to see how that does in the ratings.
Right now, days 2 and 3 are available, I think, and day 1 is airing this Monday, this coming Monday. And yeah, so it's we're gonna be watching those shows, and we're gonna be talking about the Champion Carnival when we come back with another show.
Yeah, some of these results are kind of surprising, but I'm planning on watching them. A lot of people have been asking me about this, about this Champion Carnival. I've gotten like 3 or 4 different comments. I don't know if I'm the Champion Carnival expert to some people right now, but I will happily tell you all about the Champion Carnival when it's airing, what you want to know about it. Did you say that the nights 2 and 3 are already available?
At least the show from the 18th, is the 18th also available? Let me quickly check. While I'm searching, I want to point out that not you are the commissioner of the Champion Carnival, but our good friend Morten VH is. At Morten VH on Twitter, he did a fashion carnival. He rated all of the suits that the guys wore at the press conference, the Champion Carnival press conference. And he had some funny comments on that.
That's a whole different thing than my area. I can't. I'm not an aficionado in fashion the way he is. So please go to Morten for all your fashion needs and progress.
Yeah, the April 18 show is available right now. And
yeah, the 19th show just aired yesterday too, so it should be up pretty soon.
Yes, and Nico is airing one show after another right now, so they are going to be available very soon.
Cool. I can't wait to watch them.
Yeah. So, I guess that has been the show for this. Oh, one thing. To go back to those bad stories in wrestling. Tradition had a show, Tatsumi Fujinami's 45th anniversary show, yesterday, April 20. In the main event, apparently Vader was dropped on his head by Tatsumi Fujinami, and then lost orientation and collapsed after the match and had to be brought backstage. So that was a scary moment that hit the wrestling world yesterday. But it seems that he's fine. He was tweeting right after the show. Wasn't there for the anniversary ceremony that was done by Antonio Inoki for Tatsumi Fujinami. But scary moment for Vader.
Oh, man, that's a real shame to see. I really hope Big Van Vader is okay. Long since been a favorite of mine in pro res. All Japan, Noah, WCW.
Mm-hmm.
I hope he's okay, man. Like I said, I hate hearing those news. Vader, real bad condition right now. I will say this. It is something that he made it all the way to Japan to wrestle in the match.
Yes, definitely. He did make it to Japan. He wrestled for Fujinami's anniversary. That match, a couple of years ago, like 20 years ago, would have been a great match with Tatsumi Fujinami, Riki Shoshu, and Shiro Koshinaka against Vader, Keiji Muto, and Akira. Yeah. Fujinami,
the logical third man.
Riki Shoshu and Fujinami, of course, being longtime rivals, now turned into tag team partners. So that's great for the nostalgia. And yeah. So
Sano, the guy, was on that show.
Yeah, Takayama.
Leona wrestled a match against Kenichiro Arai.
Yes, he won.
Yeah, so Super Tiger was in the opener too. So all sorts of fun to be had. Even Otani was on the show, teaming with Great Kabuki. A very natural tag team.
Oh man, Otani. Yeah, 0-1 is going to be a topic very soon too, but we're going to watch the Champion Carnival, and then we will be back with another show in 2 weeks' time. Until then, this has been the Eastern Lariat for this week. Goodbye.
Sayonara.
MLWRadio.com network.
Oh, you've been banished.
I'm logged in as Miss. I'm. But why am I Mrs. Strigger? What the fuck?
Wait a minute. We just had a revelation.
No. Why is it saying Mrs. Strigger here?
Who's Mrs. Strigger?
I don't know.
Where's Mrs. Strigger? Do you have a significant other that also uses your account?
I knew. If I had one, I knew. I would know, but I. Oh, it's just Google. It's just a bad Google translation.
That Japanese to English translation.
Yeah. Right.